off the ball breakfast.
I'm in the living room practicing Penankis with no ball. Because you hit the best penalties in your life when they're invisible penalties. Do you get me? I'm in my 30s and I do that still.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill, 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 99 of The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, bit of crack as well. A reminder, folks, that the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is now free wherever you get your podcasts. How are you, Johnny?
Good, JD.
We're kind of moving between flash and jumps at the moment. Cheltenham on today as we record this. Ascot last week. We're beginning to change trains.
Yeah, it's Cheltenham coming back is that time of year really where in you see all the Irish runners over there as well. I have to say I'm finding National Hunt racing a bit more difficult as the years have gone on. The flat is, and I wouldn't be alone in that as well. And it's interesting to see the changes that Cheltenham are making, potentially moving the Gold Cup to a Saturday as well, which I wouldn't necessarily be against. The flat for me is very much the leader of the two in my kind of mindset at the moment. But, we still have that really good season kind of finale type meet at Doncaster tomorrow. Aidan O'Brien running three in the old Racing Post. Three who are very closely matched as well, which I find fascinating from a betting perspective because almost the market's almost dictated by insider information there because, like, well, what do the Coolmore lads actually fancy here? They must think one of them is better than the other three.
And then it can turn out the other way.
And then it can because, you know, you can get different ground and you can get a race where maybe there was an advantage being on the front end on the day or whatever. Maybe there's very little between them. Christoph Sumion's obviously on the favourite. That doesn't mean he's on the right one, but I suppose there's an interesting kind of side story in that Ronan Whelan was jocked off because of a non-runner champions weekend and now he rides the second favourite who I give a big, big chance to, but I don't think we'll have prices like we had last Saturday.
How do we have a situation in Group 1s at Ascot where you have Powerful Glory winning at 200-1 and Chichero's gifted 100-1 in two different races, two Group 1s?
Yeah, like when David Power passed away, he was a bit before my time, but one of the things that I learned about David Power was I think he never put any horse bigger than 20-1, and his attitude was, and I think he was genuine on this. He thought it was kind of dismissive of connections of a horse to put it any bigger than 20-1, and he said at least I'm treating you with respect. So from that era, now we have an era where the top price in the betting exchanges is 999-1, and that effectively is dictating what prices some of the long shots go off. So we've had 300-1 winners in recent times that, say, 30 years ago would have been 33s and nobody would have made any notice of about it. But if you run enough horses who are basically 500-800-1, if you run enough of them, over time, some of them will win, even in Group 1 level. And it was extraordinary stuff. And I made this point during the week. Like, we spoke about a potential three-horse race in the big one. And if Delacroix, you thought he was each way bet of all time, he somehow was not able to finish in the top three.
And I tipped the winner, Johnny.
You did tip the winner. Clanagan was very good, very, very good. His trainer said, his informed trainer said that his work was extraordinary coming into the race. He's a gelding as well, which is interesting because
He's quirky.
But I suppose this means he can basically race forevermore. He can race until he's not able to perform to the level anymore. Whereas Delacroix, who for me has some sort of questions to answer now. Like, he was disappointing, I thought. And maybe it's the end of a long
campaign. It's not a vintage three-year-old season for him.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, a really, really poor Derby winner in the overall scheme of things. And Delacroix was well fancied in the Derby, didn't stay. The Champion Stakes, average renewal, and he won. I think he had no more left to give at the line and he won by whatever three parts for length. Why was he so weak at Ascot? Like, I find markets fascinating. How was he available at 11-2? And you said to yourself, this is the best bet each way, like, you can think of because he can't be out of the top three. And then all of a sudden on the nod, he's beaten in the top three. How did the market rate his chance so weakly? Maybe they felt he's not going to beat Ombudsman. And in fact, Ombudsman has Clanagan to worry about. Clanagan was very, very good in the day and he's such a likeable racehorse.
So we've been talking on the show, Johnny, about the William Hill Each Way Extra Challenge series. It covers, 50 races at 28 meetings across 13 Irish tracks in the new National Hunt season with a prize fund of €135,000. The series will see points allocated per qualifying race to trainers and jockeys from the 1st to 7th, with an overall table to decide the prize winners next April. Any trainer is eligible to run horses in these races, but the trainer prize fund is limited to trainers with fewer than 50 winners in the last two seasons in either code. The winning trainer will receive €50,000, prizes down to 10th. The top three riders and stable staff will receive 10,000, 5,000 and €2,500 respectively. Any rider who rides for a qualifying trainer will have bonus points allocated. The series being supported by the Irish Racehorse Trainers Association, the Irish Jockeys Association and the Irish Stable Staff Association. And the leader of the early standings for jockeys is Wexford's Tiernan Power Roach. He's on the line. How are you, Tiernan?
I'm good, thanks, Johnny. And yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, Tiernan. So is this an initiative you welcome because there's a chance to win some extra prize money for yards and for jockeys and for stable staff, and maybe highlight as well some of the stories that are not necessarily always in the limelight in National Hunt?
Yeah, definitely. Like, sure. Do you know, when it includes so many people as well, like, you know, it's not, when it gets involved into the staff in the yard, I suppose, a big thing, and it gives them a push, and horses there riding out every day and looking after, and they might get to go for that race and draw in a few points that might eventually in April lead to the whole yard getting a bit of a prize between them all. So it's brilliant, isn't it?
And you're a champion conditional National Hunt jockey at the moment, Tiernan. You're enjoying your racing, you're enjoying riding out and being on the track?
Yeah, at the minute everything is going well, thank God, and enjoying it. It was a big change from what I had been doing, point to pointing. But no, I'm enjoying it now, being kept busy, midweek racing and on the weekends and everything. So delighted now at the moment, and yeah.
Do you think, Tiernan, that others will look to you and say, do you know, I suppose I've spoken to a few point to point riders who seem to be half thinking that way, or maybe down the line. Has anyone spoken to you and said, like, look for advice, or do you think you could be an example to others that this can be done? Maybe not, they mightn't become champion conditional, but what do you think?
Definitely, I won't name any names, but there has been some riders on the point to point scene come to me and say, like, are you happy with your decision? And, or if you were to go back, what would you do? And I'd say I wouldn't change anything. Like, I think that route to come is brilliant, but I probably maybe thought about it for too long before I did go and turn conditional. If there was anything, maybe I'd have went a little bit earlier. So the advice I would have gave was, be, if it's something you're wanting to do, get the few years point pointing under your belt and go and do it. Don't be afraid of change, really, because I never thought I'd been in the position that I'm in. So, like, really, you never know what's around the corner to bigger and better things, really, don't you?
Was your racing education in Wexford, Tiernan?
Sorry?
Was your racing education in Wexford?
It was, yeah. It all would have been in Wexford. I was down south of Wexford is where I'm from, so, like, point to pointing is big down there. I suppose Benny Welch is a next door neighbour of mine. He'd have been a huge help to me. I'd have been knocking around with him after school on ponies and cobs out hunting and all that crack. And sure, then the weekends I'd go off riding out with him down in Billy Bates's in Kilmore. And yeah, no, and then sure, I, you know, would he be seeing schooling with him somewhere, or someone might have asked him to go schooling at the time, because he was busy racing back then in point to points himself. So then maybe he'd say, oh, geez, I have a young fella here with me. He'd come, he'd sit up on one for you. And, you know, one thing leads to another then, and you get going around and different connections. But definitely he would have been a big help to me starting out of where I would have started off getting serious riding out. Like,
who would your heroes have been when you were a jockey growing up that you wanted to emulate? Were you a big fan of Ruby and Barry and Paul Carberry?
Yeah, like, sure, I'd say everyone probably wanted to have the style of Paul Carberry, didn't they? But unfortunately, I didn't end up with it anyway. But I always loved watching Davy Russell. Of course, sure, McCoy and Barry Gertie and Ruby, and they're all, sure, it was brilliant that they were all riding at the same time. So you could idolise yourself off any of them. But I liked watching Davy Russell when I was younger, before I started riding myself.
How could you describe Paul Carberry to people who were didn't know the great man or didn't see him. Like, it's interesting to sit here and it's kind of, he's very hard to copy, I suppose.
Yeah, geez, I wouldn't be able anyway. Sure, how would you describe him? I don't know. It was just the way the confidence he had to land horses on the line was just brilliant, wasn't it?
Did you have a hunting background then? Just like, did you, or, you know, in the sense of your own kind of ability, the progression to point to points then?
I did. I remember actually when I was in primary school, my mum, every Wednesday, we used to go riding when I was in primary school, yeah, every Wednesday, mum would have picked us up, remember, 15 minutes early. We used to love it, to get to pony riding lessons. And sure, we've done that for years, my brothers and sisters. And then sure, we got to the age of getting our own ponies, and we'd have joined the Kilnick Harriers pony club and done a lot of hunting with the Kilnick Harriers. Like every day I was allowed to get off school, I'd be going hunting and done a lot of that. And probably a lot of that would have come with Benny Walsh as well. He was always wheeling and dealing in hunters and breaking them and getting them going. And if I wasn't riding my own pony, I'd be riding one of his. And done a lot of hunting. Loved hunting, actually. And it was big hunting country down in Kilnick, so it is.
Ballyboca Bridge, you win the Latouche on him in 2022. So is this the first taste for you of what this is all about?
Yeah, I was probably lucky enough. I had a good few rides on the track before I rode him, but I didn't have many winners. I had a couple on the track. Benny actually himself at the time was, he'd have been Peter Maher's Banks jockey as such. Anytime there was Banks race on Punchtown and all, he'd rode the important ones, or he had to pick of them as such. And I remember then, sure, all the horses obviously would go up to Punchestown School and at the race course. I don't know, it would be the week before the festival or whenever it does be. And he'd often bring me up. Well, sure, the first few years I remember I'd gone up, I'd be just standing there watching. And then he'd bring me up and he'd say, "Do you have your helmet with you?" And I say, "No." And he'd say, "Run back in now and get it." And he would have organised an older horse or something like that there for me to ride up there with him. And that was the start of that. And then Peter, in fairness, he gave me a ride in Punchtown, at the Point to Point in Punchtown, on the inside of the track, in the Hunt race, I think it was, up there. Change Your Story, and he won. So Peter was delighted with that. And then, sure, I could have rode one or two more for him then, in the meantime. And then it came up then that... I can't remember, was there someone to ride Ballyboker Bridge, or was Benny going to ride him and rode something else? And Peter, in fairness, was on to Benny, who will I get? And to be fair to Benny, he always was putting my name forward and giving me every chance. And Peter said, "Well, if he wants to ride him, he better be up here tomorrow morning to school him." So, of course, sure, I couldn't sleep that night probably. I was up there the next morning. And I schooled him. And it's funny, actually, when we were schooling him, he actually wasn't that good at home. Not that he wasn't good to jump or anything, he was a bit of a boy on a mind of his own. And I didn't get on really well with men. It was fine, but it wasn't completely smooth. And Peter just said to me, he said, "Look, you have a feel for him. The only thing you have to do is put your fingers in your neck strap on him, and he knows his way around Punchestown better than anyone or any of those jockeys out there." He said, "Jump off and let him go his own gallop and enjoy the spin." And lo and behold, then he went and won. And geez, yeah, it was brilliant, really, wasn't it?
So you're then this year champion conditional. Like, I remember I was looking at the races you won, Tiernan, and then you won successive races, like at Leopardstown on chase horses, so Monbeg Park and Brant. That must give you huge confidence when you're going out to a race meeting at Leopardstown and you're riding chase winners in successive races. You must feel then, I can do this. I can go to the under rules and I can start winning races, and it must fill you with a lot of belief that you can keep doing this.
Yeah, I've been very lucky as well. Like, you know, my agent Gary Cribben is like Like, he's been very good. He's got me in with some great trainers as well. Like, on that day, in Leopardstown, I had a double, one for Keane Collins and one for Sean Doyle. Like, but you know, like, they're very good trainers as well. And like, when you're riding for people like that, it makes things that bit easier. And I suppose then that gives the jockey confidence to keep going forward. And like, I think no matter who you are, what kind of a rider you are, if you're riding with confidence, I think it's more than half the battle.
It's something that we don't maybe discuss an awful lot in racing, but just while you're there, Tiernan, Gary Cribben's running his 12th Dublin Marathon on Sunday. Gary once, I think, and he told us this on this show, I think he ran the Boston Marathon. He basically got hypothermia or got some major, major ailment, was sent to hospital, got out of his hospital bed and finished the marathon. So this man is like, he's hardy. But the amount of jockeys who I asked him after a race lately, who's your agent? Gary Cribben. He's doing an unbelievable job. Like, what is it to Gary that makes him successful?
I'd say it's his dedication. He's so committed to it. Nearly before the entries are out, he'd nearly be able to tell you what trainers are thinking or where they're going. Like, he wouldn't be waiting till the morning of declarations to try sort everything out. Like, he'd nearly have me know what I'm riding as soon as the entries are out. You know, he's always like a couple of steps ahead, I think, of as further than he needs to be. And like, you can contact him any time of the day, any day of the week. Like, he's just so driven and committed and gets a great thrill out of his jockeys riding winners and getting rides on the big days, you know. I think his love for it and commitment is a big thing.
And Philip Rothwell, the trainer who's leading the training standings in this series, is a big part of your journey as well, Tiernan.
Yeah, Philip has been really good support to me. Gives me a lot of rides. He backs me well. And in fairness, he said to me when I turned conditional, if I came in riding out a few mornings a week, that he'd back me, and he has, and he stood by me. He's very easy to work for and ride for. He understands the game, you know. I think maybe 19 of my winners last season came from Philip, and a lot of placed horses. And now he's leading the William Hill series, and I'm leading it as the rider because of Philip, you know. And I know it's early days. I think it runs till, is it the 24th of April, maybe. And there's still 40 races left out of 50, like, so it's very early, but nice to have points built up already to be able to go forward with anyway, and it's a great series for the both of us to be able to play a part in.
Yeah, what would you assess the season so far, actually? Because it's not, I spoke to, was it Gavin Bruder the other day, lost his 3-pound claim, and I suppose being champion conditional, then there's an expectation, but it doesn't necessarily follow on either.
No, definitely not. My season has been going okay. I'm not flying as much as I was towards the end of last season, but I find like it comes and goes, and like you have weeks where everything you ride is placed or banged there, and then you could go for a couple of weeks for maybe horses you're fancying aren't running as well, but it's not something I worry about too much or think about. I just kind of, you know, try to take every week as it comes and see what happens. I'm used to dry spells and good spells from point as well, you know. But expectations, like, I just like to try maybe get through the rest of my claim now, if I could, this season or whenever it may be, whenever it happens. Hope that's my goal, is to get through that now. That was my main goal when first turning professional, was to try ride out my claim. And I said, if anything else happens, it's a bonus. So to win the champion conditional title was like a huge bonus. I couldn't have got any better than that. So yeah, if I could get through. So I still really haven't reached my goal of riding out my claim, even though I've done that. So yeah, I just kind of want to get through that then. And then, like I say, after getting through my claim, then whatever happens after that, I look at it as a bonus. You know, I won't be too greedy.
Are you a man for looking back at your rides and watching the tapes at night and studying maybe the form of other horses in the race you're riding in? Are you obsessive that way? I mean, how do you feel like you've improved as a rider turning over the last while?
I would, yeah. I'd always watch back the replay of the day's race, and And I suppose that's probably what can help tidy up your riding on the track a lot too, is you're on screen in front of everyone on telly, like you can watch everything back so closely and say, all right, I need to tidy up there or tighten up there and get a little bit better at this or switching your stick or something like that. I'd always be watching back and I'd probably be cringing at myself watching back half the time, to be honest. And geez, what was I doing? I do like looking through the race and the form of the other horses, but to be honest, I wouldn't be obsessive with it. I'd look through it and see what way they'd be rode, or maybe if they're always making a running or they're dropped in or something like that. But I'd more like to kind of concentrate on how my horse likes to be rode, and you know, let him ride his race, because like I don't think you can force your own horse to do it and to change the tactics of another horse without stopping your horse. You have to ride him or her, whatever works for that horse. And if they're good enough, then I find they win. And if they're not, sure, a better horse beat them is fair and square, as long as you haven't done anything wrong.
So you're talking about riding at your claim, Tiernan. What's the future ambitions? I'm sure you want to be riding at the big meetings and getting winners at the big meetings, not only here, but maybe across the way as well.
Yeah, I was lucky last year to get to go to Cheltenham, and I had 5 or 6 rides over there and got to ride for some big names. I rode out for Willie Mullins the week at Cheltenham over there, and in fairness to Willie, he gave me a ride in the Martin Pipe, and I got to ride for Gordon in Jigginstown and Simon Isaac Muir and Isaac Sweden. That was brilliant. But obviously I was claiming 7 at the time, so it was definitely a help. So I don't know like how much that will impact this time around, but like even if I could get to the big days and to be riding something on the card, even if it's not in the big races here in Ireland, I'd be delighted. And I won't worry too much about across the way until just try be successful and get out on the big days a few rides here in Ireland and try maybe get one on the scoreboard and see what that might lead to.
Tiernan, continued success. Thanks for coming on the Racing Pod with myself and Johnny. Take care.
Thanks, Johnny.
Tiernan Power Roach there, and starting off getting success as a conditional, and the only way is up for him.
Yeah, it's interesting what he's saying. The season's been okay. It's just, I remember when Tiernan came on the scene and the £7 claim was so valuable. When you're down to 3, I think it's kind of almost nominal. It's almost like negligible enough, because you know, £3 claim is a help. But when you see a jockey who seems to be riding almost as well as the pros or whatever, and he's taken 7 off, that's the difference in winning and losing a lot of races. £7 of a horse back is a lot. But he's a very good rider, speaks well, quite level as well. Like that jockey's conditional title last year, it went down to the end.
John Shinnick
as well. He also kind of appeared almost from... John Shinnick would have been given a chance by Terence O'Brien and developed into a great lad, like really, it's a really positive lad. But the two of them, they gave it a good go. But win the conditional title, it doesn't actually guarantee you anything really, because it's so competitive. That you just go back into the almost like the rat race, where you have to get good rides, and Tiernan's reliance, if Philip Rothwell is having a bad season, which he isn't, but if Philip Rothwell's horses are out of form, that'll affect Tiernan as well, because he rides them. So there are little things like that, but it's interesting that point rides have been on to him, because when Rachel Blackmore turned pro, people thought she was absolutely daft, like she was kind of not picking up much as an amateur. But one thing he said there, I'd be a firm believer in this. Never be afraid to take a punt on a new job. Like never be like just wedded to the idea or like governed by fear. I can't leave this job, because if I leave it and this doesn't work out, sure, I'll never be able to go back. Like, because, you know, don't have regrets about that. Like, if you feel it's right.
Let's get into the jumps race we're going to look at then this weekend, Johnny, at Cheltenham on Saturday, 2:20, the William Hill Best Odds Guaranteed Handicap Chase. So we have a lot of horses declared for this one, 18 runners. And the ones that have been backed, Highland, Rock My Way, The Short Go for Henry de Bramhead, King's Threshold as well, attracting money. Did you narrow it down to a couple here or one even?
I don't think you can do that. It's a really, really ferociously tough race. there are plenty of Irish runners. It was actually
what about Fasol Mode, your old friend Fasol
Mode. Yeah, I don't know about the trip for him. I was at Sligo when he ran okay behind Rian, and in fairness at Galway over hurdles he ran much better the time before, but a chase around Cheltenham, like, he's definitely odds on to make a mistake. And Danny Mullins got on, he's getting on well with him, but I wouldn't have too much confidence in him. He's in a horse that he still has plenty of ability, just hasn't quite delivered. Back me or sack me for Emmett Mullins and Paul Byrne. Is
no chase for him.
No, he's
look,
of,
it's a yard which is shrewd.
Yeah, Emmett has good runners.
Anything
over
could happen. Off
anything
10-2.
Could happen. Like,
he could win or be last.
Yeah, well, I suppose the one thing that's interesting in terms of the market there is, like, you're always almost thinking with horses sometimes from connections like this, if he does win and he's well backed, what will they explain afterwards if they're called in? And one of the things they could say is, well, he needed a run at Listowel, and that wasn't a terrible run, like, so he, you know, and he might come on from that. But I'd probably go, I'm definitely not going to have a bet in this race, but Highland might be one of the more solid, you know. He
don't fancy him, go on,
you don't like him. He liked to go out in front.
Now he's favourite.
He's 6-1 favourite, yeah. So I like three. He liked to go out in front. He's good form around Cheltenham. Like, he won basically. He's two wins around this time last year. And you know, having that's a massive help around here. If he's taken off the lead, it'd be a bit of a worry. Another horse I have to give a mention to, just above him in the weights, is Three Card Brag, who definitely wouldn't be without a chance either.
He's very good at grade one hurdle horse.
Yeah, absolutely. Stays all day. And to be fair, you know, he was second to Spanish Harlem at the Stowel. French Dynamite was third, and he bolted up in the Munster Nationals.
And I didn't fancy French Dynamite at all.
No, so I didn't really fancy myself, even though the trainer said, no, he's going to stay the trip perfectly well on Sunday after I put him up in the Kerry National. In fairness, he ran well in the Kerry National. As well as that, like, Emmett has C Music as well. I wouldn't entirely rule him out. And Dunboyne, Ian Dunhu, I see, has a runner for Robcore as well this week. So he's taken on, and he did winner at Limerick, who was from another yard. Dunboyne is a character, but maybe he has a chance as well.
Yeah, I like Rock My Way, second favourite. I mean, he was second to Heidi Clure at the festival last season. Heidi Clure ended up winning the Irish Grand National, so 10 stone 11 seems reasonable.
Has a wind up.
If he's primed for this one, for the Tizards, Rock My Way, I think it's a good, solid each way bet. The flat race we were talking about at the start of the show, Johnny, the Futurity Trophy Stakes, 12.5 at Doncaster on Saturday, with cutting the ground a mile. This is about the three-year-olds for next year. So as you said, three Aidan O'Brien horses, Action, Benvenuto Cellini and Hawk Mountain. Which of the three do you like?
I actually like Hawk Mountain at the prices. And if you look at, you know, previous winners of the race, Saxon Warrior, Cameco, Luxembourg, August Rodan, even Hot as Hell last year. This is a good race. You're probably looking at more middle distance horses a bit in terms of their 3-year-old career. If they can stay a mile on what usually is softish ground at this time of year, they'll probably get a mile and a half. Would you back a stable second string at 9-4? That's the question. Like,
no,
that.
I'd back Action.
Okay, well, Action is the third string. So there are two Frankels in the race. Action is one of them, who has very, very solid form, hasn't run on soft ground. It's heavy tomorrow. Benvenuto Cellini has very solid form, has form on yielding to soft ground. And Hawk Mountain, last time's car ran on yielding to soft ground. I was trying to look for an angle that day at the car. I was kind of frustrated with myself, JD. I put up Shahian in the end, who was kind of well backed, and I was between him and Al Harris, who I thought would sort of give the top two in the market something to think about. Hawk Mountain and Jerry On went off sort of good bit short and everything else. He absolutely hammered them. Like, he just went out in front and poured it on the closing stages. So what I envisage tomorrow is that Ronan Whelan will go out in front and he'll be very, very hard to pass. Now, will the market absolutely clarify on the likely heavy ground with the tactical kind of quandaries that this may or may not entail? Which of these is definitely ahead of the others? Because the market has been fascinating about some of the Ballydoyle runners lately. But as I said earlier in the show, Benvenuto Cellini was supposed to be ridden by Ronan Whelan at Leopardstown. That was supposed to be a 5-horse race that day. And Ronan, you know, he was probably disappointed in the end. Montreal was scratched. There was a jockey switched in. So this would be a nice end of the season for Ronan, who had these injuries but has picked up nice rides for Coolmore. Why do you like Action?
Well, look, if it is going to be softer ground, you think a big-framed horse would be better on softer ground than better ground. And also, he's related to Lamborn, so the sustained pedigree, obviously, there. And lost a group 2 at Newmarket over the distance, but I think maybe the ground that he's not encountered before could help him. And I think at over, 6-1, I think that from an each-way bet, I guess we're not really an each-way race, but if you're looking for a bit of value, I thought that was the value. Well,
who's I couldn't necessarily disagree with you there. Like, who is to say that Action, like, Action could go off second favourite for all we know. Wayne Lorden is riding him. Would he not be the pick over Ronan Whelan? Like, there are lots of things to consider here. I have to say, I've loved the Christophe Soumy on brief dalliance with Aidan O'Brien. There are very, very few races I could say he got wrong. And it's just, he speaks so well as well. He spoke so favourably, you know, about Ascot. And he's, like, Christophe is nearly mid-40s now, so he's been around a while. But he's a different style. He's Belgian, although they say he's more French than the French themselves. But he has that different riding style, and it's great to watch.
What about any, would you rule out Item or Oxagon?
I'd be surprised if one of the Irish horses didn't win it, to be honest. But, I mean, Item's only raced a couple of times. It's a very, very different experience of going to Bath where they can't water to taking on this on heavy ground. And Oxagon, so we've, like, half of the field is essentially by Frankel, but I'd imagine he's probably held on that run the last day at Newmarket in the Dewhurst when ultimately he didn't seem to have any real excuses. And I'd say this race is pretty much up there with the quality of the Dewhurst. The different types of horses, but I'd say it's well up there.
You have Sam Norris from William Hill on the line. How are you, Sam?
Good afternoon, chaps. Yeah, I'm well, thank you. Yeah, live from Cheltenham, so hopefully the line's all right.
I was going to say you look really smart and almost like static, but there you are, looking very, very sharp in that photo, old son.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you know what? I've not been for a few years. I'd forgotten just what a magnificent race course it is. So, thrilled to be here.
And I haven't been at the October or November. Now, the November meeting has a little bit of a kind of a fame in terms of, like, it's a cool meeting to go to. Cheltenham is class when it's not the festival as well, Sam.
Yeah, very much, Sam. I mean, this is my first time doing the October meeting. Like yourself, festival, November meeting used to come New Year's Day a lot. But my first time at this meeting. And, yeah, you know, there's a good crowd in, but you can move about. It doesn't feel quite as rammed as the festival. I know they've reduced capacity at the festival now, but yeah, there's plenty of room to roam and a good atmosphere as well.
So what about this race then tomorrow, Sam, the William Hill race that you're sponsoring, the handicap chase at 220, the 3 mile, 1 furlong race. Any money? I mean, Highland is popular in the market. I mean, is he attracting the most money or is it something else?
Yeah, he's been very popular. We're sort of 6-1 from 15-2 about Highland, obviously. Pulled up in the Grand National, a race that continues to elude Nicky Henderson. But he's got the Holy Grail, which is Cheltenham form. We know how important that is here at Prestbury Park. He won on this card last year, so he ticks a lot of boxes. Transmission, who chased him home on that occasion, he'll probably be doing something similar again. He's that type of horse, Transmission. I wouldn't be surprised if he's finishing better than anything else, but he could find one or two too good. Bit of an...
Do we have you there, Sam? Not so sure that we have. He's been lost in transmission, Johnny.
Radio live transmission.
Well, that's it.
Patrick Mullins rides this horse frequently. Won on him at the November meet last year.
What did I have about him in the notes? A bit to find with Rock My Way.
Well, he does on that run at Cheltenham in the National Hunt Challenge Cup. I don't know if Sam is back.
Yes.
Yeah, Sam, where did you go?
I think I managed to mute the phone. This is why I normally do it in the office on the laptop. Yeah.
It's a tricky race, isn't it?
It is a tricky race, yeah. The short go is the one that we'd like to keep on side. He ran pretty well in the Ultima last year, despite some jumping errors. But yeah, it's a fiendishly difficult race. But it's a staying handicap chase. It's the kind of race that does sort of get the juices flowing. We've laid our fair share of three-card Bragg as well. I know you lads mentioned him earlier on. He's usually a popular horse, but we're kind of happy to get him in the book at the moment.
What about the Futurity Stakes then? Where's the money going? Is there much money for anything of the O'Briens?
It's been fairly static at the moment. We've seen Benvenuto, Cellini and Hawk Mountain, both traders favoured at various stages. But since the jockey arrangements were made, Benvenuto, Cellini has been stronger in the betting, Christophe Soumy on a board. So we expect that one to go off five over Hawk Mountain. I'm kind of with you, John. I think Action's interesting here. Wayne Lorden, as you guys mentioned, would he not have the pick over Ronan Whelan? You'd think that would be the case. The front two have got very similar form, but I think his run in the Royal Lodge last time around was a really good effort. I know the George Boyard, I think a lot of the winner that day, Bo Echo. Humidity's a good horse as well. He was in second. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind a little bit on Action, but it's been fairly static, that race, at the moment, betting-wise.
It's the ground is going to be a big factor. Yes. It's kind of like Action is out of Gossamer Wings, who would have been sort of a better ground horse. Hawk Mountain's out of Hydrangea, who was obviously a very good horse herself, but was very effective on soft ground. It's a tricky one. This market, I honestly would not like to be pricing it. And I think, Sam, the real action in this market is going to take place closer to the off.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to see what kind of weather they get at Doncaster tonight. As you say, the ground's going to be absolutely key for this. But yeah, not a huge amount being backed at the moment. And as you said, I think it's going to be hard for the British horses. Octagon, I'm a bit surprised they're running him after the disappointment in the Dewhurst. Maybe that wasn't his track. He was very impressive at Sandown earlier on in the season. And for Item, it's just a huge step up in grade from that Bath novice that he won. So you'd expect it to go to Ballydore. But I do think it's an interesting battle between the three of them. And maybe action's just a bit too big in relation to the first two.
What about this Newbury Harris Hill Stakes at 3:10 on Saturday, Johnny? Good to soft ground, 7 furlong, 7 runners, group 3. Is there anything that caught your eye?
What time is that race going to do?
3:10 at Newbury on Saturday.
The 3:10. The two races at Newbury, I definitely feel in the other pattern race, which is on at
the St. Simon Stakes.
Yeah. We're looking at the St. Simon Stakes. I think Alazi is a great bet. I like at the prices. I don't know.
3:45 this race.
Yeah, this is the 3:45. Sorry, Alazi. There was a mess of a race the last day at Leopardstown. Like, and on overall form, they're absolute no hopers in that race. Like, he should, if he runs his race, he should really be in the first three. Anyway, Alazi in the 3:45 in the 3:10 race. I found that tricky. Now I have to say, and again, the ground is going to be a big factor there. I've some of those horses aren't necessarily going to go on it. Yeah, I was kind of thinking Arabian Desert at a price. Like, he's a big price, and he ran much, much better at York the last day for Richard Fahey, but I found that tricky.
There's money in the 3:10, Sam, for Wee Shad, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and Stellar Sunrise, the handicapper.
Yeah, a little bit of nibbles for the pair of those two, right. Time to Turn is a fairly solid enough favourite in that race. But yeah, just to go back to the 3:45, the St. Simon Stakes. Bizarrely, at this point, our biggest loser of the day on Saturday, bearing in mind Cheltenham will be the number one meeting in terms of turnover, but at the moment, our biggest loser of the day is in that race, Military Academy, 14-1 from 16-1. He's barely beat a rival home on his last sort of three starts. He was behind Hamish at Ascot and at Chester. We're quite happy to lay Hamish in that race, actually, and get him in the book. I know Group 3 is his level, but he's a nine-year-old now, and you know, with the likes of Al-Azi and the Godolphin horse in there, it's probably quite a strong Group 3. But yeah, Military Academy, maybe one to watch. A very surprising horse to be our biggest loser at this point. A, because his form is not all that good recently. And B, that punters are getting stuck into a Newbury Group 3 on Cheltenham weekend.
And Blinker's the first time. Al-Azi, 4 wins at Newbury. Like, he's a seriously good record at Newbury.
But is he and as good as he was?
He's 8 years of age, but like, was his second last run when Jim Crowley, who was stricken, rode him at Goodwood. He was very, very good. Like, and he basically has to run his race to be in the first three.
Stars in the Rise is the one that caught my eye. Only 3 years of age, won a Group 3 at Newmarket over 10 furlongs last season. Only returned to action at Goodwood last month. He could be a one that's an improver.
Definite stamina worry. By Star Spangled Banner. 3-year-old taking on those horses on that sort of ground. But like, the Stars in the Rise has a bit of a squeak. Like, the two horses in the bottom, I would say, have absolutely no chance. Revoir and Miss Wong.
No, they don't.
And there's a bit of a pace angle there, both by Study of Man. But Alazi, for me, I don't know. Obviously, Hamish is the apparent stable first string, but there's very, very little between them on overall ability.
Anything else catching your eye over the weekend, Johnny?
Anything else catching my eye? I'll give, I suppose, let me see, there's Galway's on tomorrow. I thought Galway was a difficult card, but Watford Whispers, who was so close to winning at Cheltenham, well named.
It's not a joke, no?
It's not a joke.
This is McManus.
Brilliant skate website. Yeah, runs at Galway. I thought he should win. Darcy's Friend, actually, is the one that I really like in the 1:10 at Cheltenham. Landed a punt.
This is on Saturday.
Landed a punt for Emmett Mullins in Leopardstown in that sort of March meeting, isn't it, last year. He's available with Hills at a top price, 17-2, 4 places. I love it. 17-2, 4 places. His last 4 SPs, 6-5, 2-1, 11-10, 11-8. Now, granted, he only won one of them. But and the handicapper has been harsh on him, yada, yada, yada. I really like the way he jumped at Killarney. I like his chance.
Where are you on horses that are coming off a recent run versus first time out over jumps?
Depends on the record fresh and sort of who trains them. Like, I generally don't like backing horses off a big break because there's too much guesswork. There's a race at Sligo today where there's a horse off a break that I really like at the prices, but it sort of depends on the profile of the horse and ultimately the trainer.
Sam, anything else we need to know?
Just on that 1:10 race, actually, there's been a bit of money around for Henry de Bromhead horse, Zurich, who's 10-1 from 11-1. He's had a pretty hot start to the season, really, Henry de Bromhead. So I know he was awarded the race at Killarney last time around, but he might be one to note as well. We've got the William Hill Each Way Extra Series continuing Sunday, Monday at Wexford as well. So hopefully, we'll be able to crown a winner of that in a few months' time and award one of the smaller to mid-based operations. But yeah, set fair for a great weekend.
And Johnny, you got your charity bet, €50, 25 each way or 50 on the nose. What are you picking this week?
I was at, just to mention briefly, I was at Killarney when Zurich won and all the Prince of Air connections, they were all local and they were cheering and cheering and cheering. Then there was a steward's inquiry for about 15, 20 minutes and the look on their face was just, and I've been there. They were so, so sad. And I was like, lads, it's okay, you know, it could be worse. But like, I get it, a winner at Killarney. So that was a sad day. But I'll actually go with Darcy's friend in that particular race, Pony Each Way, at 17-2, four places.
110 at Cheltenham on Saturday, Johnny's charity bet, 25 each way. Darcy's friend, number 10, trained by Emmett Mullins, to be ridden by Dunamiler, 8.5-1.
Very briefly, Emmett Mullins, I'd say somewhat tongue-in-cheek when he won at Leopardstown, said, oh, well, and he was backed into odds on. He was like, oh, I think people looked at his point-to-point form as if like they'd back him into odds on that. But if you actually did look into his point-to-point run, he ran in a race somewhere in the West Country, I think, in England. It's staggering how well that point-to-point worked out. Sam, if you do one thing today, look at the Darcy's friend point. I think there were six finishers out of seven ran, six finished. And they were all winners slash graded horse efforts in an English. And somebody pointed out to me, Darcy's friend has been the most disappointed of them in some respects. He's still only six, though.
And he's Johnny's charity bet on Saturday at Cheltenham. Sam Norris, thanks so much.
Thanks, lads.
And Johnny, thank you.
Cheers, Judy.
That was episode 99 of the Racing Pod here and Off the Ball. Reminder, the full pod now free wherever you get your podcasts. We're back next Friday. We look forward to having your company then.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill, 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.